This is actually our third lesson in a series of six that we're going to have. The theme of these lessons, Beauty from Ashes, Redeeming Our Broken Moments, is the theme of the series of lessons. And the text verse, or the verse that overarches all the lessons, is Isaiah 61, verse 3, where the Bible says this, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." What God is saying in that verse, and we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, but I think it's important just to put the lessons in context about what God does. God says, "I'll trade you. I'll redeem." That's what the word redeem means. I'll trade you something for something. I'll trade you something good for something bad. He said, "I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll give you joy for your mourning. I'll give you praise for the heaviness that's in your life." And he says, "I'll do that so that when other people see it, that they will call you the trees of righteousness." And that word righteousness means having a right standing before God. So when other people see God working in our life this way, they'll realize that we have a right relationship with God. That next phrase says, "planted by the Lord," as a reminder that the righteousness we have in our life, the right relationship we have with God, doesn't come from anything we do. It comes by what God did for us through Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And here's the purpose, as the verse finishes up, the purpose of all that, of God redeeming these things for us, that other people can see it and call us the trees of righteousness planted by God, that he might be glorified. That God might be glorified. And that ought to be the objective of every Christian, to have our God glorified, to have our God honored, to have our God praised, to have our God lifted up. And so he'll take our broken moments, the times that we fail, the times that we've messed up things in our life, and he'll redeem those broken moments for something good so that he might be glorified. We started this series of lessons talking about Abram and Sarai, redeemed from poor choices, and the poor choices they made when it came to Abram taking Hagar for his wife and having Ishmael, and the fact that they didn't wait on God. And the point of that lesson is that God's plans are always better than our plans, and that we just need to trust what he tells us, not to take matters into our own hands, just to wait on him. Last week, we talked about being redeemed from broken relationships. We talked about Esau and Jacob, two brothers that had a broken relationship because Jacob misled or tricked, deceived, however you want to say it, his brother. And the fact that they were both, at the start, self-centered, and the relationship was broken. They spent years apart, one of them thinking the other hated him, the other one hating him for some of that time. But God redeemed that broken relationship. And at the end of the lesson, we saw Jacob and Esau reconciling to one another, restoring the relationship as brothers they should have. Lesson today, redeem from a critical spirit. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk about Moses' older sister and brother, Miriam and Aaron. And the point of the lesson this morning is that a critical spirit can destroy and damage our lives. Now, usually when you think of about a critical spirit, we think about how criticism can harm the person that's being criticized. I mean, that's really the purpose of the person offering the criticism, is to harm that other person. But the truth is, when we are critical of other people, we actually do damage to our own lives, as we're going to see in the example of Aaron and Miriam this morning. With 3 points of the lesson, a critical spirit arises from a selfish focus. When we put our eyes on ourselves, again, when we compare ourselves to other people, if we're not careful, that'll lead to discontent, which will lead to criticism. Second point of the lesson is that God rejects a critical spirit. God doesn't like us to have a critical spirit. When his people, as they were moving from Egypt to the promised land, the Bible uses the word murmur over and over, not a heart murmur. You know, I guess it was a heart murmur, but not the kind of heart murmur we talk about today. They were complaining. They were grumbling. They were critical of everything. And God rejects that. And then we're going to talk about, at the end of the lesson this morning, God's discipline, what he did to Aaron and Miriam to discipline them for criticizing Moses. And we're going to see again that God's discipline is always aimed at restoration. He always uses discipline to bring us back to where he wants us to be. Never just out of spite, never just to do us hurt, but always a purpose in mind to bring us back. So, we know about the trip from Egypt to the land of Canaan. We know that it wasn't an easy journey. But we do know that all along the way, God guided his people. God protected his people. God took care of his people. And yet, even though God was doing all that, and again, I don't have time to go into details about the cloud and the pillar of fire that led him and manna falling from heaven and the quail that he sent and all the other things, that how God took care of him. But in spite of everything that God did, in spite of the fact that they were going from Egypt to the land of Canaan, slavery to freedom, they complained over and over and over and over. They argued with God. They rebelled against God. And Moses, as the main leader of the people, often was the one complained about. I mean, he was the one out in front. He was the one that people saw. And so when things were hard and things weren't going the way the people thought, and when God wasn't taking care of them the way that they thought that God should take care of them, Moses was the one that got criticized. And it's hard when you're trying to lead a group of people to endure criticism, especially when you love them and want the best for them, as Moses did his people. I remember he loved them because he said one time when God was about to destroy him, he said, "Don't destroy him. I mean, if it takes it, take me out of the book. I mean, take my relationship with you away from me if that would save these people." He loved them. And so it was hard when he faced criticism. But it was especially hard when it wasn't just the people. It was the people that were helping him lead. I mean, we're going to talk about in a minute, both Aaron and Miriam were helpers to Moses as he led the people. And they were family. And you would think that the people that would support you the most would be your family. The people that would support you the most would be those that are in leadership positions with you. And so when these two turned against Moses, it really hurt. It was really discouraging to him. But we're going to see how, because of his faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to him, God helped him get through the situation and actually restored the relationship between Moses and his sister and his brother. So we start this morning in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And again, let me just say, you might be sitting here this morning and say, "Well, I don't really need this lesson. I'm not a critical person. I try to look at on the good side of people. I always try to find something good to say about them, and I don't normally have a critical spirit." And I would just say to you this morning, as before we start the lesson, to get you to listen a little bit closer. All of us at times are in situations when we, not normally having a critical spirit, it may sneak up on us. I hate to tell you this again, but I drove through McDonald's on Friday morning to get breakfast. And you know what they asked me to do? Pull forward and wait. And I always want to tell them in a loud voice, "This is a fast food place. I'm not supposed to have to wait, pull up. Just give me my food." And even though I try to look on the bright side and look for the best in people, sometimes Satan gets a hold of me and I am critical of other people. I mean, it just sort of sneaks up on you. And again, that may happen to you on occasion. So listen to this lesson not as something that you need to deal with that's always in your life, but that's something that may pop into your life on occasion under circumstances. So again, Numbers chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through 3, here's what the Bible says. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man, and notice the parentheses around verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So the books of Exodus and Numbers and a little bit in Deuteronomy, they recount the journey of Israel from Egypt to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And even though they were being led from captivity to freedom, even they often complained and criticized. And all leaders expect criticism. I mean, it's just part of being a leader. But as I mentioned before, it still hurt, especially when it comes from unexpected sources, like your brother and your sister and those that are in leadership positions with you. We first meet Miriam, Moses' sister, way back in Exodus chapter 2. We don't know her name from chapter 2. We know that later. But remember, she was probably still a teenager when the decree came from Pharaoh that all the Israelite babies were to be killed. And Moses' mother, Jochebed, made in order to save her little baby, they hid him for 3 months, but when he got old and they couldn't keep him quiet as much, she made a little basket of bulrushes, little ark of bulrushes, and tarred it, and put the little baby Moses into the little ark and sent it out on the Nile River. Now, we know the story of what happens. One of Pharaoh's daughters, one of the princesses of Egypt, and by the way, Miriam, Moses' sister, was assigned the task of keeping her eye on the little baby in the ark. And so we know the story. One of the princesses of Egypt finds the little baby. When her maidens bring that little baby to her, the little baby cried. And like most ladies, she had sympathy on a little crying baby. And Miriam used that occasion to run up to her and said, hey, would you like me to find somebody to nurse this baby for you, to take care of this baby you found? She made the assumption that the princess was not going to kill it like her father wanted, but was going to keep it. And God, I think, used her suggestion to plant that thought in the princess's mind. And she said, yes, go find me somebody to take care of this little baby. And, of course, Miriam went and got her mother and to take care of the little baby. On the journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan, Miriam became part of the leadership team. She assumed the role of a prophetess. In Exodus chapter 15, she led the women in celebration and praise after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, when the Egyptian army had drowned in that Red Sea. Miriam took a tambourine and led the ladies in singing praise to God. And so it's kind of surprising, after those two mentions in the Bible, for this third one in Numbers to indicate that she was criticizing her brother. Now, Aaron was part of Moses' call to leadership. I mean, he was with Moses from the beginning. When Moses said to God, well, I can't go to Pharaoh and say, let your people go, because I don't speak plain. Some people think Moses stuttered. And God said, well, that's all right. I'll give my message to you, and then you can relay it to Aaron, and Aaron can be your spokesman to Pharaoh. And so Aaron was there from the very beginning as far as Moses' call to leadership. He was Moses' spokesman before Pharaoh. Sometimes when God was sending the plagues, we read that Aaron actually held Moses' rod for the plague to come, as opposed to Moses. And so he was there through thick and thin. He was there, remember, when Moses went up on the mountain. Joshua was leading the army to fight, and as long as Moses held up his arms, the army was victorious. Well, his arms got tired. And so Aaron got on one side, and a man named Hur, H-U-R, got on the other side. Some think that was Miriam's husband. Don't know for sure. But they got on either side and held up his arms. And the Israeli army was victorious in that battle. And so he became the first high priest. And even though he wasn't perfect, he helped establish the system that God wanted set up of sacrifice. And he and his sons, led in the sacrificial system. So again, it's kind of shocking to come to this chapter in Numbers where Miriam and Aaron were criticizing their younger brother. And that word spake against, it actually means to criticize, talk about somebody behind their back, but to do it openly so that other people can hear it. Now, it said there in verse 1 that they spake against him because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. Now, Ethiopia was used interchangeably with people from the land of Cush. Cush was a son of Ham, a grandson of Noah. Cush was an area that was a land that was south of Egypt in the Nile River basin. And the Bible tells us that when Moses murdered the Egyptian trying to protect an Israeli slave that was being beaten, he fled to the land of the Midianites, which was also the land of Cush. And so the term Midianite and Cushite were also used interchangeably. And so when Aaron and Miriam criticized Moses for the Ethiopian woman he had married, they were talking about Zipporah, the lady that she married when he went into exile for 40 years and was tending sheep in the wilderness where God was giving him the second course, so to speak, of his education. He spent the first 40 years in Egypt learning how to be a leader in school. He spent the next 40 years in the wilderness learning how to be a leader in practical terms, leading sheep around the wilderness. And so they criticized him for the Midianite lady, Zipporah, he married while he was in exile, probably because they thought that his wife had more sway over him than they did. Now, they were his brother and sister. But let me ask you, who has more sway over you today, your wife or your brother and sister? If you have both, I'm sure you would say it's your wife as opposed to your brother or sister. And so they were probably a little bit envious of Zipporah because her word had more sway with Moses than their did. Now, verse 2 gives us the real reason why they criticized him. They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" Moses, what Aaron and Miriam were saying, yeah, Moses is in a leadership position, but so are we. And yes, God speaks via Moses, but doesn't he also speak through us? In Numbers chapter 11, chapter before this, God took some of the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the other elders so that they also prophesied. And so, again, chapter 11, right before chapter 12, where we're reading from, Miriam and Aaron were probably jealous that Moses was the only one that was considered to have the spirit of the Lord upon his life. And they said, well, we have it on our life too. God is using us as well. And so again, in chapter 12, we're not told what the setting was that they were critical of Moses. We know what happened after God took some of his spirit and put it on some of the elders, but we're not told where they were or who they were with, if they were with anybody else, or if it was just the two of them when they were criticizing Moses. But the important thing is, what the Bible does tell us, the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. We may think we may be having a private conversation with somebody we trust. And we might be critical in that conversation of somebody else. We're thinking nobody else will ever know about it except that one person that I'm talking to. Well, God knows about it. I'll take it a step further than that. We may have critical thoughts. We may not say them to any other person. But you know, God knows those critical thoughts we have of other people, and he doesn't like them. He doesn't like them. So the Lord heard it. Now, in parentheses is verse 3. Some people think that verse 3 was added at a later time. Moses was the author of Numbers, and for him to talk about himself and say that he was the meekest man that lived on the face of the earth, I mean, a meek man wouldn't do that. A meek man wouldn't brag about himself. But, again, the Holy Spirit told Moses what to write, and if the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to add this little line in parentheses about your meekness, even though he was meek and might not want to do it, he would have been obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. Now, again, that word meek in verse 3 doesn't mean weak, like some people think about it today. That's a word that testifies to the discipline, the trust, and the integrity of an individual, especially in their relationship with God. What that word means is that a person realizes what they are in comparison to God. They realize that God is God, that he's an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, and in comparison to that God, they are nothing. And so they come before him in a spirit of meekness. They come before him knowing that they are unworthy to come before the presence of God. They come with no pride. They come realizing their station before God. That's what meek means. And it's for God to say he stood above all men which upon the face of the earth in his meekness is a tremendous compliment for God to give to any man. And he gave that compliment to Moses. Okay, let's quickly go on to the next passage, verses 4 through 11. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. We're not told in this passage how Moses reacted to the criticism. Not told that. What's important is how the Lord reacted to the criticism. The Bible says he spake suddenly, which suggests a sense of urgency. This was something that God was just not going to let slide. This was something that God was going to deal with immediately. It also talks to the seriousness with which he took it. And so he called Moses and Aaron and Miriam to come out to the tabernacle of the congregation. That was the tent that God had the Israelites build, gave Moses the instruction for it up on Mount Sinai. It was a meeting place. It was the place where the presence of God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, the part of the tabernacle that was segregated from all the rest of it, where the Ark of the Covenant was. But it was a place where God's presence dwelt. So he called them to the tabernacle. All three of them came. The Bible says the Lord came down. And again, that phrase, he came down in a pillar a pillar of cloud, and he came down suddenly. I mean, you might say he made a dramatic appearance. I mean, they knew that God had come into their presence. I mean, the pillar of cloud, he often appeared to them in a pillar of cloud. But that pillar stood by the entrance of the tabernacle. And he called Aaron and Miriam to both come forth. Now, I think they knew that they were in for something. I think before God said anything, they already knew that they had sinned. They knew that this was not going to be a pleasant meeting with the Lord. Just like we know, before anybody has to say anything to us, when we sin, we're convicted of our sin. We don't need anybody to point it out to us. And they didn't. When they were called out there, they didn't need for God to say anything. They knew what they had done, and they knew that God knew what they had done. And so God says, "Hear now my words." He says, "I want you to listen to what I have to say." The Lord's words are meant to be heard and heeded. And he wanted Aaron and Miriam not only to listen, but to pay attention to what he was saying. He was not going to speak hypothetically. He was not going to speak philosophically. He was going to speak very plainly. He was going to speak very authoritatively as the God of heaven and earth. By the way, when we're reading this book, we need to remember that's how God speaks. He speaks authoritatively as the God of heaven and earth, and we need to listen. He said this, "If there be a prophet among you," and notice the word if. "If there be a prophet among you," he's only talking to the two of them, "I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him." And that's what a prophet is. A prophet is somebody that God tells something to, that he wants that person to tell other people. And he said, if there's a prophet among you, I'll make myself known unto them, and I'll do it in ways that I normally do it, visions and dreams. A vision is a revelation that you get while you're in a trance-like state. A dream is something, a vision that you have when you're sleeping at night. And God often spoke to prophets of old in visions and dreams. But he said, "My servant Moses is not so. I don't speak to Moses in dreams and visions. I do to other prophets, but not to Moses. I speak to him in a different way because of his faithfulness. I speak to him mouth to mouth." In other words, face to face, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And he says, "I don't hide what I'm trying to tell Moses. I speak to him very openly. I speak to him very plainly. I speak to him so that he can understand what I'm saying. And sometimes he even sees my similitude, my form or my likeness." Probably God was referring back to Exodus 33, where Moses asked to see God's face. And God said, "I can't show you my face. See my face, you're going to die." He said, "I'll put you in a cleft of a rock. I'll put my hand over you. I'll make my backside pass before you, and I'll take away my hand so you can see my glory." And that's what God did. And so God reminded these two, "Sometimes I show my form to Moses." Then he asked a question, "How come you weren't afraid to criticize him? I mean, I don't speak to anybody else like I speak to Moses. Nobody else sees me like Moses sees me. Why weren't you afraid to speak about my servant Moses in the way that you did?" You see, what God was implying is, hey, when you criticized Moses, you not only criticized him, you criticized me. Because Moses is my servant. I've chosen him. I put him in the position that I wanted him to be in. And when you criticized him and rejected him, you were criticizing and rejecting me. Now, so he asked the question, "Weren't you afraid?" And he didn't wait for an answer. The Bible says the Lord... he didn't wait for an answer because there was no good answer that they could give him. I mean, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he left. He departed. Now, that word anger in the Hebrew paints a picture of somebody that is so mad that their face becomes distorted, their nostrils are flaring, and they're breathing hard because they are so angry. That word kindled means hot with anger, furious, burning with anger. So what God was saying in this verse is, I am mad at you. I am very mad at you. I am very angry at you that you would criticize my servant Moses. So he left. And the cloud left. Okay? The cloud left, departed from the tabernacle. Just as quickly as it came, it left. And just as quickly as the cloud left, Miriam became a leper. Leprosy covered her body. It did not come up gradually. It appeared all at once, just like that. Now, leprosy had different degrees. Some of it was very mild, like a skin irritation. Others, it was very, very severe. This was a very, very severe case. She was probably scaly. Her skin was probably flaking off. Her flesh was probably rotting. I mean, you know, we've talked about leprosy before. And Aaron looked at Miriam, and I think when he saw Miriam, he looked down at his own hands, he looked down at his own skin, say, do I got it too? I mean, God called both of us. I'm sure he wanted to see if he had it too. The fact that it was only Miriam sort of suggests that she was the one that started it, started the criticism, was behind it. You know, she got with Aaron and worked him up to criticize Moses. And so Aaron appealed to Moses on his and Miriam's behalf. He says, alas, my Lord. And again, that word Lord is a like the term sir. It's showing great respect. It's saying, Moses, I realize that your position is higher than my position, and I have a subservient position to your position. He says, I beseech thee, I beg thee, lay not the sin. Not only the sin, but the punishment for the sin. Don't lay it on us. We're guilty. We're guilty. Aaron didn't try to put aside the guilt. He says, we are guilty, but instead of giving us what we deserve, give us mercy. Show compassion. Give us grace. He says, we've done foolishly. Not just something stupid, but we've done foolishly. We've sinned. We've missed the mark. We deserve the punishment that God is giving, but please go to God, ask him to forgive us, and show us grace. All right, which brings us to the last two verses, verses 13 through 15 of Numbers chapter 12. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So now the ball was in Moses' court. Aaron says, Moses, would you go to God on our behalf? Would you ask God to forgive us? Now Moses had a choice to make. He could say, no, after you criticize me, why should I forgive you? Or he could say, okay, I'll go to God. And of course, he chose the latter. Moses was a very meek man. He was a very humble man. He was a very compassionate man. And so he cried unto the Lord. He called out to help unto the Lord. He said, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. It wasn't a demand. It was a request. Lord, would you just heal her? Would you show her grace? Would you show her mercy? And here's what God said. He came back to Moses and said, Moses, if her father had spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Back in this day, if somebody spit in your face, it was a way to show shame for that person. And so, for example, and if a child did something that really dishonored their parents, they would spit in their face, and because of that, they would be put out of the camp for 7 days. They would have to live outside the camp like the lepers did. I don't think they lived with the lepers, but they lived outside of the camp. They couldn't be part of the community, so to speak. They had to spend time outside the camp. And so what God said, look, if she had done something to shame her father and her father had put her outside the camp, she would have to spend a minimum of 7 days outside the camp before anybody would let her back in. Since she's shamed me, don't you think that she needs to stay out there at least for 7 days? And of course, Moses couldn't argue with God. The answer to that question is yes. And so God said, let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. Even leprosy, when it was healed in a miraculous way, and you came before the priest to show yourself that you were healed, you had to still stay in quarantine for 7 days for them to make sure that you were really healed, that it was really gone. And so for Marian to have to stay outside the camp for 7 days was consistent with the intent of the law that God had given his people. Because you see, she was a leper in two senses. She was a leper from a physical sense. One of the reasons that you didn't let lepers around other people is that it was very contagious. I mean, if you came in contact, that's why if you had leprosy and somebody approached you, you had to cross to the other side of the street. You had to put a napkin over your upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean, so that they wouldn't come close to you. If they came close to you, they ran the risk of catching that disease. Well, God's saying, Marian's also a spiritual leper, because the sin of criticism is catchy. It impacts other people. If you have a critical spirit and you're around other folks and you openly criticize somebody else, more than likely it's going to affect them. They may not start criticizing that other person, but they might start having doubts about them. I mean, the seed of doubt, the seed of criticism is so in their mind. And God says, hey, I want her to be by herself for a while. Give her a chance to think about what she's done and keep her from infecting anybody else. So it says, Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So her sin not only affected her, it affected the whole camp. They had to take. They stopped for 7 days. They stopped for a whole week. Now, again, I've already mentioned it a couple times, all these people that were waiting around for Miriam to be healed of her leprosy, to come back into the camp, they had done the same thing that she'd done. They had criticized Moses. They had murmured against not only Moses, but against God. And I'm sure as they heard what happened, as they sat there and waited for 7 days, that God was convicting them, oh, I deserve the same thing. I've said some things about Moses. I've said some things about God. Look what God did to Miriam. He could have done that same thing to me, and I would have deserved it, because I was probably more critical than she was. I murmured more than she did. And so God was giving his people an opportunity to remember their sin, maybe to confess their sin. After 7 days, Miriam came back into the camp. And I think she not only returned to the camp, she returned to her position of leadership. Because you see, when God disciplines, he always disciplines for restoration. He always has a purpose. He always wants to bring us back to where we're usable again. He always wants to bring us back to where we can impact other people for him again. That's why God sends times of discipline into our life. He doesn't do it just because he's mad at us. He doesn't do it just to hurt us. He does it to get us back on the right track, to get us back where he can use us again. In Micah chapter 6, verse 4, Miriam and Moses and Aaron are remembered as the leaders that God used to bring his people out of Egypt. Her rebellion, her criticism of Moses is not mentioned. Only her leadership position is mentioned later on in the Bible. And so again, God took this moment of criticism and he redeemed it. He traded it for something better. Now in the process, he had to send some punishment. He had to send leprosy. But he got Miriam and Aaron back to where he could use them again. It's hard for God to use a critical person. It's catchy. It's hard for him to use a critical person. But he traded their moment of weakness, their moment of criticism for something better. So that again, people could say, hey, they have a right relationship with God. All because of what God did, and they could glorify that God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word. I pray that, again, we just not be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers. We'd ask ourselves, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me through this lesson? Are there times in my life, either in my thoughts or in my words or in my actions, that I display criticism toward others? Help me to understand that that's displeasing to you. It doesn't build up the kingdom of God. It's a hindrance to the kingdom of God. Help me to see, Father, that there's no place for it in my life as a Christian, and with the Holy Spirit's help to root it out of my life. So thank you for your word. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for this time we've spent together. I pray with us. Pray that you'll go with us now to the service that follows. Be in everything that's said and done. Help us to uplift our Savior. If there's folks here that need to be saved, I pray today would be the day they make that decision. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.